I want to bring a word this morning. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. I don't know how you're hearing this, but it seems like there's a real echo behind me. So, hallelujah. So let's go to Romans 10:17. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen? Now, I used to think that faith comes by hearing the word, right? But there's more to it, because it says faith comes by hearing and hearing. Hallelujah. Otherwise, if it was just hearing, singular, the verse would have said faith comes by hearing the word of God. But it says by hearing and hearing. That's why you've got two ears, by the way. Now listen to this. In Psalm 62:11, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this. That power belongs unto God. So the psalmist here says, God's spoken once, but I've heard it twice. Hearing and hearing. Now, what is this hearing and hearing? Let's find out. There are two words for the word of God, okay? There is logos, which means the written word of God, the truth, doctrine, counsel, and totality of God's word. If you have a paper Bible, would you hold it up this morning? Just go ahead and hold up your Bible if you have a copy of it. If you have it on, you know, your tablet or something or phone too, that will work. But mainly a paperback, okay? So from Genesis to Revelation, this is the logos of God. Okay, it's God's account of all that he's done and plans to do in written historical form in your Bible, okay? But there's another word for the Bible, and that's rhema. And that refers to God's spoken word, revelation, personal guidance, specific utterance, and an active, present communication. Let me say that again, an active, present communication, okay? So there's two different forms of the Bible. There's the logos, which is the written word, and there's the rhema, or the spoken word in faith. Now, in Romans 10:17, we read faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? So that word in that verse, the word, is not logos, it's rhema. Okay? So it's just more than hearing the written word. You've got to hear the rhema word in your spirit. All right? Following that? Okay. Now, in Hebrews 4:12, go there a second. I'm sorry, 4:2. Nope, that's not right. It's 4:12. I've got 4:2, but I've got this pretty much memorized, okay? For the word of God, logos, is quick and powerful. Oh, thank you. You're right on it. And sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, what's a two-edged sword? It's a sword that's got two edges that'll cut. Hearing and hearing. It's not a single-edged sword, okay? It's just not logos. It's a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Okay? Logos. Now, rhema, Ephesians 6:17. Ephesians 6:17. Are you ready for this? Okay? and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word rhema of God. All right? So there's two different forms of God's word, logos and rhema. Now it's interesting. Job says this. How many of you have read the book of Job? Okay. Now they say it's the oldest person in the Bible, or it was maybe the first account. I don't know for sure, but I do know when I've read it, it has not talked about Abraham's covenant or the law of Moses, but it has talked about creation. So I would tend to lean towards that way, okay? And there's a lot of good stuff in the book of Job. And this is what Job said. For God speaks once, yet twice, yet man perceives it not. Wow, this is really important, okay? So God speaks in logos, and he speaks in rhema, and it's possible that you don't hear either one, okay? Now, the reason I say that, there are millions of people today on Sunday morning in the United States or around the world that are hearing the Bible spoken to them, okay, their pastor, their elder, whoever's preaching, and it's going in one ear and out the other because there's no change or transformation in their life. Now, why is that? How can that be? Let me tell you why. Look at Hebrews 4:2. Now, whoever's writing Hebrews, we don't know because they don't tell who writes it, but it is definitely a Hebrew who's been converted. Now, he's going to be talking. Now, who's the book of Hebrews written to? Here's a pop quiz. Does anybody know who the book of Hebrews is actually written to? The Hebrews, right? Not the Gentiles, okay? That's why you've got to rightly divide the word of truth, okay? Let me give you another nugget. Who is Jesus sent to? Was he sent to the world? Yes, and he knows? He was sent to the Jews. He was not sent to the world. Okay? He died for the world. He was sent to the Jews. I'm not going to get into it this morning, so when you read the Gospels, I'm going to say it, there's a lot of error in the Christian church because they take what's written by Jesus to the Jews, and they bring it into the church. No, no, no. He was sent to the Jews for the Jews, so all the red letters are to the Jews. I'll leave it at that. Don't stone me just yet. But what it's done is it has mingled a spirit of error with truth in the Christian church, and it's bound up the Christians in their faith. Okay? You need a rhema this morning. I said you need a rhema this morning. For unto us was the gospel preached to the Jews as well as unto them, but the word preach did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So if the word is not mixed with faith, the logos is not mixed with faith, it doesn't profit anything. Okay? You've got to have a rhema. You've got to mix it with faith to become a rhema for it to be powerful. Hallelujah. And Paul said, I didn't come to you with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in power and demonstration of the Spirit. Okay? Now, It did not profit the Old Testament Jews because why? Galatians, the law is not of faith. It could never profit them, so they could never mix it with faith. However, there were some Old Testament people that did move in faith, but very few. And you can read their account in Hebrews 11. And God did powerful things, but the majority of Israel walked in unbelief. That's why they took them 40 years in the wilderness for an 11-day journey. Now listen, don't panic. Okay? Don't panic. You're probably thinking, well, man, I wonder if I've got any faith. Because, like, when I pray, it doesn't seem like much happens. Well, just sit tight, okay? The message ain't over yet. I'm not a doomsday preacher. Hallelujah. Matthew 17:20. Now, this is what Jesus says. Aren't you glad what Jesus says? Thankful for all the word of God and what all the prophets did, but you know what? I don't really care. I really care what Jesus says. Hallelujah. Because he is the perfect prophet. That's who I want to follow. Amen? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place. Now, I know I'm reading the King James, and it's the reason I am is because it's easiest for them to put on the screen. Okay? And I study out of it because I have a concordance where I can reference things in the Strong's, and it's easiest for me to memorize. So I'm not saying the King James only, but so you're getting all this old English, but I try to mix it with new English. Okay? You shall say unto this mountain, be removed to this place. How does that sound? And it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible for you. Do you believe that? No, I mean, do you really believe that? Because Jesus said it. All right? All right. Now, Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 3:2, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. Okay? So all men in the world says they don't have faith, most of them. All right? Not everyone has faith. But Jesus said, if you have a faith as a mustard seed, right? All right. So what is a mustard seed? Have you ever seen a mustard seed? How many have seen a mustard seed? Okay, so how many have not seen a mustard seed? How many have eaten mustard? How many have not eaten mustard? I don't like mustard on my hot dogs, by the way. Okay, I must not have much faith. No. All right, so if you've ever seen a grain of mustard seed, now I've been to Israel, Jesus said, that it grows into a tree where birds can put their nests. I've actually seen a mustard tree there. But the mustard seed, as far as I know, is the smallest of all seeds. You know how big it is? If you were to take your pen and dot your paper, that's how big a mustard seed is. It's like a little speck. And Jesus said, if you've got that much faith, you can speak to this mountain, our spiritual mountain, and it'll be removed. Okay? So that's all you need, right? So those in Christ, you have at least a mustard seed of faith, all right? We're going to find out how to develop that faith so you can become strong in faith and turn into a tree like faith, all right? Now, let me see here, Romans 12:3. This is for you. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think clearly, soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, what is the measure? It's the mustard seed. Okay? So if you're in Christ, you have a mustard seed of faith. All right? Now, this is interesting because James says this, James 2:18. James says, yes, a man may say you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So in the church, there's many, as a, now I'm not saying just our church, I'm saying collectively, okay, worldwide, the church. There are many that have works with no faith, okay? They do all these things to try to please God or follow the Bible, but they don't mix it with faith, and they don't produce any works. Works do not produce faith. Oh, I said works do not produce faith. Faith produces works. It must produce works. Okay? That's what James is saying. Now, there's a couple things here. There's what's known as the prayer of faith. Let's look at that. James 5:15. It says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So, there is a prayer of faith. Okay? Logos. Logos. By the way, Jesus said they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall what? So praying for the sick and laying hands on the sick is a recovery process. Okay? You get that? It's a recovery process. Now, look at Matthew 12:13. Matthew 12:13. Then said he to the man, this is Jesus now, stretch forth your hand. Jesus is in a synagogue on the Sabbath, and he's got the nerve to heal somebody. But you know what? Jesus didn't care about men's opinions. He just cared about his Father's opinion. And he stretched it forth and was restored whole like the other. Rhema. Logos is a prayer of faith. Rhema is a command of faith. I said rhema is a command of faith. You don't pray a rhema, you command it. Hearing and hearing, okay? Most of the church is stuck in the logos, just hearing and trying to do works, and they become religious because there's no power or results. I'm not getting too many amens, but hey, I think that's a good amen right there. Amen. Amen, amen, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. Now look at Acts chapter 14 and verse 9 and 10. Paul is preaching. Now remember, not all men have faith, right? Right? Is that what the word says? But if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say, you can speak, you can command, and it will obey you. So here Paul is preaching. The same heard Paul speak who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on your feet. And he leaped and walked. Now the church was full, but Paul sees this one man and he begins to perceive by faith, and Rhema begins to move. And he speaks to this man, and this man gets healed. Nobody else gets healed but this man. Because what? There's a mixture of faith taking place. Don't believe me? All right. Jesus is out walking, and the multitudes are surrounding him and trying to get to him. And there's this one woman who has an issue of blood. Now, she's not even supposed to be out in public with her condition, because she could be stoned immediately because she's unclean. But she says, because she sees the logos here, she sees the Bible here, Jesus. She sees Jesus. And she remembers the word in Malachi that to you who believe, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. Now, what is this healing in his wings? Well, the Jews wear a garment. Actually, they have a prayer shawl, but they have an undergarment that the men wear. And their undergarment, they have tassels. And they have 5 knots in there. And they have, I'm trying to think how many tassels, maybe 13. But that represents the law, the 613 commandments. She remembers the word. Here is Jesus, the Son of Righteousness, moving in her midst. And she says, if I can just touch one of those wings on his tassels, I'll be made whole. She gets a rhema, and she moves in despite being afraid of being stoned at any moment, and she touches Jesus' tassel, and immediately she's healed. I said immediately she's healed. Nobody else gets healed. There are hundreds, maybe thousands of people thronging Jesus, pressing into him, and she's the only one. Why? Because she had a rhema. Hallelujah. You have to have a rhema. This is a rhema moment, by the way, this service. Now look at Peter and John in the book of Acts. They're also in the temple, right? And Peter sees this one individual. The temple is full. But he sees one individual. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Now here, look up here. Look up here for a minute. Okay, are you looking? You have a rhema inside. And I'm going to explain what that is. All right? And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up immediately. And immediately, everybody say immediately. Immediately. The prayer of faith is a process. The command in Rhema is immediate. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. So you are asking me, because I can hear you. Well, brother, that's good word. Maybe somebody's saying it's a good word. But how do I move from logos to Rhema? Like to know how to move from logos to Rhema? Right. Let's go to Psalm 13. Let's see. I'm sorry, 131, verse 2. I want to give a couple examples here. The first one, I'm going to talk about David, right? King David. Now, David says something interesting. He says in Psalm 131, 2, surely I have behaved and quieted myself. Okay? As a child that is weaned of his mother, my soul is even as a weaned child. All right. So a weaned child, first of all, a nursing child, the more that child fights and turns and tosses, the less that child receives of the mother. Okay? But a resting, quiet child is going to receive a constant flow of nourishment. All right? So you've got to position yourself in a place to quiet yourself. Did you hear what I said? You got to put yourself in a place to quiet yourself. It's not an easy thing to do today, all right? But it has to be purpose and intentional, right? So this child that is nursing, David is giving an example, is now ready to move from the logos, milk of the word, to the stronger, solid rhema of God, the word of God. Okay? Now I want to show you David here a couple of examples. All right, before I do that, let me share something about Jesus. Mark 1:35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Now, Jesus would often get away to quiet himself before the Father because he was constantly being approached by multitudes of people, even his disciples, right, teaching them. So he had to intentionally, purposely get away to hear from his Father, all right? Sometimes you've got to purposely, intentionally get away from everybody. I said, sometimes you got to intentionally and purposely get away from everybody and everything. Put your phone in a safe, throw it out the window, whatever you got to do. Right? I mean, we heard a prophecy today that God is waiting for you, right? He's positioned. We're the ones that are out of position. All right? So now let's go back to David. Is this all right? Are you getting it? Is it confusing at all? Because I don't want it to ever be confusing. Okay? Hearing and hearing. A two-edged sword cuts both ways when it goes in. Okay? Now, David. Second Samuel 5:19. We're going to start. Now, David, he was not only a king, but he was a warrior, and he was a man after God's own heart, right? The only one that the Bible says in the Old Testament was a man after God's own heart. So that says something. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand." And David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there and said, "The Lord has broken forth upon my enemies before me as the breach of waters." Therefore he called the name of the place Baal Perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. All right. So David, instead of rushing out to battle, he knows that the Lord is with him. He knows that he's the anointed king. He knows that he slew Goliath. And I think at that point, most of us would just rush out there too. The Lord's with me. I'm anointed. I can take this on like I took the giant on. But David doesn't do that. Why? David's waiting for a rhema. He's waiting for God to speak to him and tell him what to do and when to move. He's just not hearing the Torah and the Navim, the prophets. He's waiting for the rhema of the Spirit of God to tell him when to move and what to do. Hallelujah. and he's successful. Wow. Why aren't we successful? We don't wait for a rhema. We take God's word and says, we know Jesus said this, and I'm supposed to do and I'm going to go do it. And we do it, and after 10 times, we get discouraged because it hasn't worked. I don't know if that's you, but I'll put my hand up. Why isn't it working? You're not hearing the other with the other ear. You're not here waiting for the rhema. Hallelujah. Now, watch this. And the Philistines came up again, all right, and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired, or when he quieted himself, and he set aside, and he listened for the rhema. This is what the Lord said. You shall not go up like before. Now, what if David would have thought to himself, you know what? This is the way the Lord did it before. Man, I know what to do. I know what to do to be successful. God moved in this revival before. I know what to do in this next one. Do you? Do you really? Because God didn't tell him to do the same thing. You know why? Because every person and every circumstance is different. I said every person and every circumstance is different. I don't have this in my notes, but I'll give you a free one. Joshua, they're crossed the Jordan. They're going into the promised land. They're going in to defeat the enemies. And there's this one tribe that they dress up in old clothes. They bring old food. And when they get to the children of Israel, they say, we've come from a long journey. They were really close, by the way. We've come from a long journey, and we've heard what God has done, and we want to submit ourselves to you and enter into a covenant. Okay? You know what the children of Israel do, Joshua? They don't inquire of the Lord. They don't inquire. They think, man, God's given us this victory after victory. Yeah, we'll spare you. You know, join our clique. Join our group. And they make a covenant with them. And then God comes to them and rebukes Joshua and said, why have you made a covenant with the ones I've told you to destroy? Now you can't destroy them. So now they're going to be a snare and a thorn in your side because they didn't inquire of the Lord. They didn't quiet themselves. They didn't wait for the logos to go to a rhema. Okay? Are you getting this? You see how important this is? Okay, it's the Lord working with them and confirming his word. It's not the Lord in the background sending them forth. It's the Lord working with them. It's a relational communion time with God. So David, God speaks to David and says, you're not going to do the same way, but fetch a compass behind them and come up over against them in the mulberry trees. And let it be when you hear the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, like probably a wind, that you will bestir yourself, and then, for then shall the Lord go out before you to smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba to Gehazir, and he was successful. Hallelujah. We in the Western church are much too arrogant. We're much too arrogant and self-sufficient and think we know it all. We think we know it all. But if you've ever been over in the East and seen the people over there and their culture and how they live, you would definitely immediately enter into humility. Hallelujah. Because those people know how to move in a rhema. We've got all our fancy places and TV programs and radio programs and doctrinal schools, and you know, we're filled with knowledge till it puffs up, right? But there's no demonstration of power, or at least very little. Hallelujah. But that is going to change. I said that is going to change, because you're learning this morning how to move in power. Hallelujah. And it's the game changer. So Paul, now in his writing, is basically kind of referring in the New Testament to like what David was talking about. In 1 Peter 2:2, he says, as newborn babes, now these are new believers or new Christians, all right, desire the sincere milk of the Logos. Desire the sincere reading of your Bible, the study of your Bible. You're a baby. That's how you grow. That's your nourishment. You don't give a baby meat right away. You give them what? Milk. All right? That they can grow. But there comes a time when you got to grow up in the church. I said there comes a time when you got to grow up in the church. Okay? Like, the whole purpose of the fivefold ministry offices are to help bring the church into full maturity through the counsel of God's word. That's the whole purpose, right? It's not to make more apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. No, it's to help bring up the church into full maturity to the full stature of the Christ. Hallelujah. So, here's Paul. Now, he's in a different situation, and he's entered a different place of believers, and this is what he says. He says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Uh-oh. Sorry. American church is dull of hearing. They're dull, okay? But they're going to come into hearing sharp and clear what the Spirit is saying. You know why? Because we have everything we need here. We do. We call the doctor before we call on Jesus. Hallelujah. We got to start believing the word and speaking in faith and seeing a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Hallelujah. We lose our job and we run to the bank to get a loan instead of running to Jesus, who the silver is and the gold is mine, says the Lord. I'm not being mean. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. Okay? We've got to grow and mature and move from logos to rhema. All right? Now, he says, Paul says, I want to give you meat. I want to give you the rhema so you can be successful and move in power, but you're dull of hearing. For when for the time you should be teachers... All right, now this is pretty hard hitting. For when you should be teachers, you have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. So Paul was an apostle. He was establishing churches, okay, and he would periodically make his rounds to different churches. And when he gets to this church, he says, you know what? By this time, you guys should be teachers, but you're spiritual babies. What's going on here? Right? Goes on to say, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat or food belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use, now say, everybody say reason of use. Say it again, reason of use. Reason of use. Faith plus works. Hallelujah. Faith works. But strong food belongs to them that are of full age, mature, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. All right. So how does the Logos move to Rhema? It has to be mixed with faith. It has to be mixed with faith. For without faith, it's impossible to believe God. All right? But you have a measure of faith, a mustard seed that can move a mountain. You just need to know how to use it. Hallelujah. All right. I'm coming toward the end. I'm going to give you some examples now in the New Testament. So David, what did David do? Quieted himself, and he inquired of the Lord, right? What did he do in the second time? Quieted himself, inquired of the Lord, right? Not everyone you pray for has faith, okay? You could be, let's say you're in Walmart, and there's 10 cripples in there. You can attempt to go to every cripple and pray, right? Or you can wait for the rhema for the one who's got the faith that God's going to heal and get out of the wheelchair, all right? The Spirit doesn't make mistakes. We do. Hallelujah. And when the word goes forth, the Spirit will mix it with faith to that unbeliever to get their healing. But not all men have faith. You've got to find the one that's got faith. And then the next time, you've got to find the one that's got faith. And the next time, you've got to find the one that's got faith. Hallelujah. All right. All right, Luke chapter 10, verse 38. I'll try to read real fast here, but this I got a few more, okay? I know this has been a long service, right? It's been a divine service, right? You don't ever want to rush the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you flat out that I don't cut corners with the Word of God. I don't cut corners with the Word of God. I understand if you got obligation or kids and you got to leave, don't be embarrassed. It's perfectly fine. You can always watch it online or listen to it. Amen? I do not cut corners with the Word of God. Every verse, every word is important, okay? It's pinpointing something, and it's releasing something. And what it's releasing is rhema. All right, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Most of you know the story, but she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. Where was she sitting? And she heard what? Here's the Logos, right? Speaking. And Mary is pondering and letting it go from Logos to Rhema. That's why she's sitting. She's not distracted. She's not busy in church works. I mean, work in the church is important. It's not as important as sitting at Jesus' feet. If it takes away from you sitting at Jesus' feet, you need to do less works in the church. I might get a rebuke, but it's all right. That's the most important thing. Okay? She was caught up with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her that she help me. Martha's got a lot of chutzpah. That's Hebrew for nerve. She's telling Jesus, tell my sister to help me. She's just sitting there. She appears to be doing nothing but listening to you. Well, what else would you want to do if Jesus walked in here? Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled or bent out of shape about many things. But one thing is needful. Everybody say, one thing is needful. Mary has chosen that good part, that rhema part, which shall not be taken away from her, because it can't. Because she let the word go from logos to rhema. All right. Now I'm going to go to John chapter 11, pick up a little story here. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Now this was her brother, okay, Martha and Mary's brother. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. So they both find out this news about their brother Lazarus, and they both react, and they both send word to Jesus. Okay, you following that? They both do it. And then when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Mary and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, Jesus immediately went to them. What do you guys got, a wrong version or what? You got the watered down version? Doesn't it say when Jesus had heard that, immediately he went to them? Whoa. This is Jesus now. When Jesus had heard, therefore, Jesus got a logos from them. He's waiting for the rhema from his Father. When he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Whoa. This is Jesus. Okay. I'm going to jump down to verse 17. Now, when Jesus came, so it must have been another couple days to get there, he found that he had been in the grave 4 days already. All right? So Jesus waits 2 days, gets the rhema for his Father, now son, go. And he moves for 2 days to get to him. Now Bethany was near to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard, now, as soon as she what? That Jesus was coming, she went and met him. Here comes the Logos. I'm going to go to Jesus. The Logos is here. The Word of God. Jesus. Right? She reacts. But Mary sat still in the house. I'm not moving until I get a rhema from Jesus. My brother's dead. He's been in the grave 4 days. All my emotions are screaming. My mental faculties are screaming. My body is screaming to get to Jesus, but I'm not going until I get a rhema. I'm not reacting. I'm not letting my soul dictate my spirit. I'm waiting in faith. I'm letting faith stir, and I'm waiting to hear a rhema from Jesus. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it to you. Jesus says to her, your brother will rise again. Now, Jesus just told Martha that her brother would rise again. But it went one ear and out the other ear, because she didn't have a rhema. She wasn't mixing it with faith. She was mixing it with emotion. Jesus, I know that even if you ask now, that God will give you whatever you ask. Okay, your brother will rise again. Now listen to her response. Martha says to him, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Right? There's no faith mixed with it. There's no rhema mixed with it. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe God's word? Do you? Then you need a rhema to see a manifestation of it. You can believe all you want. Without no rhema, there's no power. There's no demonstration. Just logos. It's just a word. Sorry, that's religion. I said, that's religion. Works without faith. But you have faith that works. Because you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed. She says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she left, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly. Right? Away from everybody else. I got a rhema word for you, sis. I got a rhema word for you from Jesus. The Master comes and calls for you. As soon as she heard that, as soon as she heard that, she rose up quickly, suddenly, and came to Jesus. And you know what the result was when she came to Jesus? Jesus was so moved by her response that Jesus wept. And Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Hallelujah. Logos to rhema. You have to have a rhema. Now, I'll give you a couple examples in my own life, okay? Rhema goes from the simple to the profound. Okay? It goes from a prayer of faith to a command of faith. Okay? And remember, you get a rhema, quieting yourself, getting away from distractions, waiting and communing with God in His presence, and letting Him speak to you. Hallelujah. Now, I will say this. You don't always get the rhema when you're quieting yourself and before him in his presence. Okay? You don't always get a rhema then. But because you've invested the time and been in his presence and taken the word and prayer and let it churn and stimulate and move in faith, you may be out in the store and you'll get the rhema. You may be out in your job and you get the rhema. Here it is. Now, I want you to really pay attention right now, okay? Your undivided attention. This is the most serious part. If you don't remember anything else, remember this. It's happened to you, I'm sure, more than once, because it's happened to me. Okay? You could be in the church. You could be at your job. You could be out in the marketplace, and you're doing your business, and you see somebody or hear somebody, and you hear a rhema. Go over there and speak into that situation. Go over there and minister to that person there. And your immediate response is what? I know mine is fear. Fear grabs you. Oh, what if nothing happens? What if I look stupid? You know, I don't want to dishonor God. Well, what if something does happen? Hallelujah, and God is glorified. And then what happens next is this. Oh, you know what? I think that was just me. I think that was just me. You know what? Are you looking up here? Are you? That wasn't you. That was a rhema of the Spirit moving in you. The giveaway is the fear, because God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. That wasn't you. That was a rhema of the Spirit. Now, I'm not here to condemn or, you know, I've heard that a number of times and not done anything with it. And then I think, man, what if I would have done something with it, right? All right, let me give you a couple things that I did do, okay, when I heard it. Not long ago, my Jeep was broke down. And having this electrical issue, man, it was really aggravating. Because every time it would rain, my Jeep would die out in the middle of nowhere. And I had it flatbedded, you know, to my house. And I'm like, oh, I can't take this anything when it's raining. Right? So a long period had passed. By the way, I found the leak. I had some body work done, and the body shop put my windshield in. And I always could hear like a little air when I was like high mile speed on the highway. And so I was tearing out my headliner and panels and the windshield all around expecting it. And I told my wife, take that garden hose and douse this side. I mean, douse the whole thing. Because that's going to tell me if there's any water coming in. And man, on the right side, there's this little quarter inch hole that it was coming through. And it was running down in all my electrical connections right there, and I would short out my Jeep and kill it. So all it was a dab of silicone. And I never had a problem again. Hallelujah. All right. With that story, when it was broken down, since I drive a bus, I can ride a bus for free. I was riding back and forth to work because I couldn't drive in the rain. So I forgot one day to take my keys so I could get in the house, and nobody was home, and it was in the evening, and it was going to be late, and I think it was starting to rain, and the spare key is in the garage. All right? We say, well, that's wise. Yeah, it is wise when it works. So my keypad had been messing up for, I don't know, months, right? So instead of being wiser and replacing the keypad, I go over there and I start punching in my four-digit code. And I think it's starting to rain now. And I got nowhere to go. I can't get in the house. I got to wait till it's late. So I'm frantically doing a Martha. Da-da-da-da. No, doesn't work. Da-da-da-da. Doesn't work. Da-da-da-da. Doesn't work. And man, a rhema rose up within me. I said, I am getting into my house. And I said, in the name of Jesus, open up. Da-da-da-da. I was surprised how fast it opened up, brother. Okay. Simple, right? All right, here's a little bit more profound one. So I'm doing my route, and this one guy I used to get on my bus, and he would walk with a limp. You probably have heard this story maybe before. So I knew one leg was shorter than the other because he'd walk like this. And one day I looked at him, and I felt the rhema. I said, hey, could I speak to your leg? I believe Jesus wants to heal it. Now, I got cameras and audio on the bus, okay? So you got to be really wise because you're being monitored all the time, you know? But I don't know. This time I was like, dude, I got a rhema. Can I? And he goes, yeah. I goes, have a seat. He has a seat. I said, stretch forth your legs. And they were like, you know, an inch off. That's why he was. I said, in the name of Jesus, straighten out, leg. And it went. Zzz. And they were even. And then I didn't see the guy for a while. And I thought, is that guy still walking straight or what? Did that really work? So one day I'm driving and he's walking on the sidewalk. I said, thank you, Jesus. I moved on that rhema. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the rhema. So you have heard before rhema more than once. And when you do, you have to mix that with faith. In obedience. Okay? That's when you see the power of God manifest in your life. It goes from logos to rhema. Would you stand this morning? Hallelujah. Now, I would not doubt, and I don't, that during the service, from the beginning to the end, that someone has got a rhema, or more than one, about something. So at the close of this service, if you got a rhema for somebody in here, then let me encourage you to move on it. If you got a rhema for somebody out there, let me encourage you to move on it. Hallelujah. This is where the church is going to move into maturity. They're just not going to go from hearing. They're going to go from hearing to hearing the word of God. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you that your word will not return void. I thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in your knowledge. I thank you for your faith now that is speaking to people, a rhema in their spirit, and as they get alone with you, they will get more and more and move on it, and you'll be glorified. In Jesus' name, everybody said, all right, be blessed. Going to Rhema today.